Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Most gracious Father, we thank you, Lord God. We thank you for your presence, your spirit, your power, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for your word, Almighty God, in your mind. Father God, as we decrease, Lord God, and Father, as we reprove and rebuke the mind of ideology, the mind of carnality, the mind of man, Lord God, this morning, knowing that we're dependent upon you, Almighty God, as we yield forth our thoughts, our minds over to the mind of revelation, the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord God, we say, have your way within this service this morning, Lord God, knowing, Lord God, we could do nothing, Lord God, in our own mind or thoughts, not knowing or perceiving nor understanding anything, Lord God, but knowing that the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ perceives, understands, and knows all things and gives us that unction, Almighty God. Father, needing you this day and this hour, Lord God, as the people of God, the sons of God, Lord God, needing you, oh God, we say, have your way, Lord God, as we yield our vessels over to you, Lord God. We love you with a great expectation of you, oh God. We need you. We love you. We thank you, Lord God, and we thank you, Lord God, for being present with us and being here, Lord God. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we all pray and say, amen. Hallelujah. Lord bless you. Hallelujah. You can be seated this morning. Amen. It's wonderful to be in the house of God. Amen. I tell you, it would be terrible to just come to a church and come to a place and just come because it's an expectation or an obligation, or just come thinking, well, you know, this is what we're supposed to do. We're Christians and have not God here. You know, it's sad to say that the Spirit of God isn't dwelling in all of the churches of America. We'd have to say, has Ichabod put over the door, you know, that the Spirit of God no longer dwells there. You know, and it's sad to say that there's many places like that. But, you know, pray for those people that they could have a hunger and a desire and a thirst after righteousness and after the Spirit of God. And when you truly come to that place, God will fill you and he will lead you and he will guide you. Amen. I think of over the many years of the places that I found myself in fellowship and to worship the Lord and learn and growing in the grace and knowledge of God, and still am. But I think of over the years of the many places that God led me to and put me to be indoctrinated and educated. You know, I was in places that their doctrines weren't right, but then yet I was indoctrinated there. Amen. And some things I was indoctrinated in ways that we don't do things after I come to the mind of Christ and started coming to understanding. But then yet, on the other hand, even when there was doctrines that weren't correct and right, there was still the Word of God there and was leading and drawing and moving people. Amen. And I thank God for all of the miraculous things that I've witnessed over the years and the growth and the things that he's done in my life. Amen. And as well as others. Do you have an expectation this day? Amen. You know, if you don't have an expectation of God, he'll give you the fruit of your thoughts. If you have no expectation, you won't receive anything from God. And many times people put the sole responsibility on the pastor, the minister, the evangelist, and they put that responsibility on him. But I'm telling you for a fact, brothers and sisters, that you could have a man of God before you that is speaking the mind of God and the mind of Christ and revelational things. But if you're not in a position to receive, to hear, and haven't prepared yourself to enter into his house with thanksgiving in your heart, you may not hear what the Spirit of God is saying. You know, we can go back to when Jesus walked among men, and we know that he is God. We know for a fact that he is God, that he spoke all things into an existence, all principalities, all powers, all things visible, all things invisible, that he spoke all things into an existence. This earth that he manifested on and walked among, that he spoke it into an existence, amen, and created it, because he is the creator of all things, amen. And he created that thing and walked among men, but then yet his own testimony as he spoke to people said, you don't hear, you don't see, you don't perceive, even though they had ears and eyes. But they did not have the mind of Christ or the mind of the Spirit or seen by the mind of understanding. Amen. You know, sometimes we could be so full of hearing. I know the Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And the thing is sometimes we could be so full of hearing that we think we're getting faith, but then yet we're not hearing what we need to be hearing. Amen. There's people that are sitting in churches throughout the world that are hearing what they would say is the Word of God, but there's no faith there. Amen. Because they're not truly hearing the Word of God. They're hearing religious dogmas and ideologies, and they're hearing the mind and tradition traditions of men, amen, and they're not really truly hearing the word of God or the revelation of the Lord. And I know that might sound somewhat critical to you or in such a way, but brothers and sisters, I'm a minister of the gospel called to preach God's word, and we know what the scriptures teach us and say about this end time, and there's a lack for the word of God. There is a famine, the Bible says, for the word, amen. And the Bible said it's a small flock and few be there that find it. So we've got to see that and understand it. I wished I could stand here before you and say that the churches of America and throughout the world were full of Christian people. And if it was so, there's multiplied millions upon millions and thousands of people in churches. But the Bible said few be there that find it. It's a small flock, and the righteous scarcely make it. So the thing is as we look into these kind of ways and thoughts, you know, we just want to believe that everything is okay and everything is good and everything. But the Bible's full of too much exhortations to godliness and holiness and virtue. Too many exhortations to beware of these vain philosophies and traditions of men. And there's just so many exhortations in the scriptures about Antichrist and false prophets and the things. So we need to be people, not critical. If we walk in such a religious spirit with a critical spirit and we're constantly just judging everybody and everything out of our own intellectual concepts and ideas, then we're going to miss the Lord ourselves. Sometimes the things that would appear so religious and would appear to be so right or even so pure could be the things that are the farthest from God. As we use the Sanhedrin so oftentimes as an example, look at them. In their day and hour, we would have to say they were the cream of the crop. They were the elite. This is the religious people. They're the ones that are in the synagogues daily in the house of God. They're the ones that seem to be praying continually. There is the elect and there is the chosen of God. This would have to have been the people. But then yet we find that they were the very ones that take our Lord and our God, our Savior, our salvation to a cross of Calvary. And Lord had his way in it, yes. But there's a great example there for us as what we would maybe consider as religious people. There's a great example there for us, brothers and sisters, that we could see these ones that thought in such a great standing, a great place with God, but then yet they were the very ones where he received the nail prints in the house of his friends. And you know, again, as we say, so oftentimes that when we look at these things as shadows, we might say, or past, or talk about the things of past, you see, there's no new thing under the sun. Brothers and sisters, the spirit of the Antichrist is the same today, yesterday, and forever also. Just as we talk about the Spirit of God. He's not doing no new thing. He's been a deceiver from the beginning. If we was going to go turn over to the book of Genesis, we could find the deceptive powers of Satan as he goes and blinds his minds and blinds his eyes and he deceives through the lust of humanity. And when people have their desires and their eyes on the things that are desirable of this world, they're opening themselves up to the deceptive powers of Satan because he will use the things that we see with our eyes. He'll use the things that we touch with our hands. He'll use the things of the five senses of flesh to manipulate and to move you and to lure you and to deceive you. He is the great power of deception, and he will use things that would look so pure and so godly and so religious, and he will deceive. We make the mistakes of teaching children in Sunday school, and we teach them about a devil with a pitchfork and the horns and, you know, and his little red cape and things like that, and we see we're putting the wrong concepts in children, that they're expecting to see this devil manifested in such a way when he's going to manifest himself in a three-piece suit and he's going to have a doctrine on his wall called a theologian and he's going to present himself as such a man of wisdom and understanding and he's going to have his Bible in his hand and he's going to come with such eloquence of speech. You know, see, people aren't indoctrinated to think, but you know, we're talking about the master of deception. And that's the way he moves and the way he comes. And you say, well, boy, I need to look. I need to learn to have my eyes open and learn to discern. We do need to pray that God would grant unto us the spirit of discernment. You know, I need to learn to discern between the good and the evil. You know, and I need to learn to discern that if we're the ministers of God or not. The Bible said, try the spirit and see if it would be of God. You know, and I need to learn to do this and that. But brothers and sisters, if you found yourself out on an island, we might say, all by yourself, you say, boy, my problems are over. I don't have to discern no more. You know, I don't have to war and travail with these things. Well, I found the Lord Jesus when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was in great travail. And there wasn't anybody there in a manifested fleshly state that was warring with him. But he found a warfare within his own thoughts and within his own mind. mind. He found a travail. Paul said that he travailed until Christ be formed in you. You see, brothers and sisters, there's a travail in another realm, another dimension. And this is the one that we need to learn to walk in and perceive and understand. So again, if you found yourself out on an island like Paul found himself on an island, we find that we're going to be in a warfare and in our minds and within our thoughts. So, you know, discernment is important when you're the only sole individual that's involved. I want to be able to discern this man and this brother, this sister. I want to be able to discern this, discern. They're the least of your problems. When you esteem them greater than yourself, they are no problem to you. When you esteem them that way, they're not a problem, but the problem is within the members of your own flesh, the members of your own thoughts, the members of your own mind. Have you prayed that God would grant unto you the mind of Christ? Have you prayed that it would be his mind? So then when we find a real warfare and real travail, I've met so many numerous ministers over the years and fellowshiped with them and prayed with them, and I've helped them in their visions and ministries and different things. But I find so oftentimes that they fail to walk in the mind of Christ, in the mind of the Spirit of God. I remember Brother Pike sharing with us about a great man of God, Oral Roberts, and he said how God used him in such a magnificent and mighty way in his early years of ministry. And many miraculous healings and many things come forth from his ministry, but then he decided to build a great college. You know, say, well, that's good. You know, we can indoctrinate and teach. It is good to have a place that you could take and indoctrinate and teach people. Amen. But then he built it up so big that then he had to leave the realms. He didn't have to, but he chose to leave the realms of trust and faith in God and started going towards the business side. And then to get the people coming, had to start getting the sports and stripping the people off and putting jerseys on them and starting basketball teams, and then it just went into a worldly empire and a worldly thing and become mockery in the mind of God, in the perspectives of God. It become mockery type thing. Amen. And he had to, if you remember years ago, he had to get on and plead with the people. Had to get on and plead with them and said God was going to kill him unless he came up with so many thousands and millions of dollars or whatever it is. You see, God has a way of exposing, brothers and sisters, if you would just look. You know, and you say, well, are you blasting this individual or this man? No, not whatsoever. I wouldn't speak against God's elect or of any way of shape. But I'm talking about the deceptive powers of the Antichrist is what I'm speaking about. And I'm talking about one is such a great man of God that done great, great, mighty exploits, found the deceptive powers of Satan came in and deceived him in such a way that it caused a fall to such a great ministry and such a great thing. And you say, well, it's still going on and still this and still that. But brothers and sisters, you'll find that yes, many times, just as Brother Pike made a statement many years ago, he said, the government of America is over. It's gone. It's finished. It's done. People would say, man, that man of God missed it. He had to miss the Lord on that, because I know, man, got these great politicians still going and the government's still strong and America's going. Brothers and sisters, see, you're not having eyes to perceive. You don't have eyes to see. You're looking at things through a carnal state of mind. You're carnal, you're natural, and you look at things and judge things by what you see with your eyes, and that's all deceiving and deception. The government of America has been gone, brothers and sisters. If you would understand the purpose of America and understand what the whole point of America is, then you would find that it has departed and left. You know, just as we made a statement a moment ago about Ichabod put over the door, people say, oh man, that can't be. They're having church, man. They're still going strong. You say, no, the Spirit of God's departed. Oh no, but I felt the rain when I was in there. Yeah, the rain will come on the just and the unjust, brothers and sisters. And they'll feel the rain of God and they'll get the goosebumps and they'll cry and they'll do things like that. But the Spirit of God has departed. And you say, well, it doesn't make sense if you say that the rain of God, there it is, God, and the Spirit of God. But brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. God dwells within the temple. Amen. There's a difference between the infilling of the Holy Ghost and the reign of the Holy Ghost. It's two different, totally different dimensions, and yes, but one and the same God. Amen. And I tell you, we need an infilling of His Spirit. He said, it's expedient that I go back to the Father. He could have said, expedient that I go back to the Spirit, that I could send one back, the Holy Ghost, the Comforter. Amen. And brothers and sisters, He fulfilled what He said. But when He sent this Holy Ghost back, it was something that dwelled within us, something that filled us. Amen. Again, I remember a vision of Brother Pike was speaking about. He said he was walking and he was observing this, I believe it was a pillar of fire or the cloud, but he was looking at this thing. And he said he wanted to turn real fast for he could get a glimpse of it and see it. And he said it was just like right there kind of beside him. But he said when he had turned, look, it would just go right into him. He said he couldn't, I guess, turn quick enough, amen. But, and you know, there is a difference. There is a difference. Brothers and sisters, there's many people that the reign of God comes upon them. They would appear, when you would observe it and look at it, they would appear to be spirit-filled people. There's many times that the reign comes on people and they speak in tongues. There's many times that the rain comes on people and they lay hands on the sick and they recover. You say, boy, that is the confirmation right there. That vindicates them as the children of God. Oh, don't be deceived. It isn't that way. It isn't that way whatsoever. I cast out devils in your name, the Bible says. I laid hands on the sick and they recovered. He said, I never knew you, amen. I never knew you, you worker of iniquity, depart from me. That knowing again, brothers and sisters, is the infilling of the Holy Ghost. That personal relationship where you enter into the secret chambers of the Most High God, amen. You enter into that relationship with the husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. When you enter into that secret chamber, amen, then there is a life-giving seed that comes forth, amen. The Bible said it's that seed that remaineth in you that keepeth you from sin, amen. So the thing is we need to enter into that relationship, that marriage relationship. That is the knowing of God, amen. And if we don't enter into that kind of knowing, even though he knows the number of hairs on your head, but that's not the knowing that we're speaking about. Even though he's omniscient, knows all things, that's not the knowing that we're talking about. Even though he knows how many beats your heart has beaten, how many times your lungs have expanded and detracted back and forth. And again, he's recounting the number of hairs on some of our heads on a daily basis because it seems like the forehead just keeps growing back and back. So he is an awesome God, knowing all those things. Amen. Knows every sparrow that falls out there. But the knowing that we need to know that he knows is that relationship of entering into the secret chambers of the living God. Amen. The same God, the God of yesterday, today, and the God that's forever. Amen. And entering into that place to receive that seed of life. Amen. That spirit of Christ. Amen. That we could truly be born of God and be born again. I want you to turn with me over to Philippians this morning in your Bibles. Go to the second chapter there of Philippians. We'll begin there at the first verse. It says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. You know, if I was going to stop there this morning and expound on that, you know, sometimes we find such a strength and such a power in the Word. Not sometimes, always. When we lay a Bible down before us, as we got this one laid here before us on the sacred desk, and we could just look at the size of it and the magnitude of it, you know, if you think, man, I've got to read this thing and this and that. But then yet, brothers and sisters, it's the spirit of the Word that we're looking for. And it's the Spirit that breathed this Word. It's the Spirit that spoke all things into an existence. It's the Spirit, brothers and sisters, that we're looking for this Word. And when we could take and just read one little passage of Scriptures like this, and we find the Spirit in the mind of Revelation, the mind of Christ, amen. We find this mind of the Spirit, and it would take literally hours to even try to make an attempt to unveil this one verse. I mean, there is so much vastness, for maybe lack of expression, in this one verse right here. Sometimes we could take one little chapter even of the Bible and say, you know, if a man could just meditate on this one chapter day and night and day and night and day and night and apply these things in his life, that man would be an overcomer. That man would be a victorious individual walking in the power of salvation and a victory. You know, and you say, well, could we really do that by memorization of his Word? Could we really truly do that by coming? And no, you might memorize a chapter or maybe the whole Bible. And I remember Brother Pike making a statement one time, and it really struck my spirit when he said it, but he was talking about a man that memorized the whole Bible. I'm not saying he was applying this directly to this man, but he said, you know, a man could memorize the whole Bible and be nothing but a walking devil. They called this man the walking Bible, I believe. And I'm not saying he was saying this to this particular man. But brothers and sisters, there's a difference of an intellectual comprehension and understanding of God's Word and memorization of his Word and even walking in his Word when we say the written application of his Word. I have found that I have to watch and be prepared. And as we were talking about the sermon, I got to discern the Spirit in my own mind and my own thoughts. You see, sometimes Satan, he'll come and speak the word to you. And when you hear this word spoken in your thoughts, You think, well, that's God, because we know God's Word. And we hear God's Word spoken in our thoughts. We say, well, there's the mind of Christ. But Satan knows how to speak God's Word. And he'll come and speak God's Word. And let me say this, I've said so oftentimes, you could take and stand on the written Word of God and be an heir with God. And I know people would have a problem with such a statement as that. But if I could say, just for simplistic sake here, I could stand on the written Word of God and saying it all of and fallen short of the glory of God. And that's the written Word. And then I could go over and protest against the man of God when he says, ye that are born of God cannot sin. You see, but there's a lot of revelation in between there too. And sometimes those two dimensions are as far as the east is from the west. So oftentimes, as we say so often again, that there's a time of casting out and there's a time of bringing in. There's a time of die. There's a time to be born. There's a time of mourning, a time of laughter. There is a time of planting, a time of plucking up. You see, these are all in the Word of God. But I can tell you this, that if I'm out of season in a natural perspective and you'd been out there laboring and planting a harvest or a big garden, and I say, oh man, I got the Word. It's time for harvest. It's time to pluck up. And I go out and start plucking up and it's not ready yet. You see, it's not edible. It does nobody no good. I'm out of season. See, there's a time of planting, time of watering. There is a time of harvest. And when we find in the written Word of God, there's expression of these different dimensions, the expressions of these different things. I know that we're instant in season, out of season. I know that, brothers and sisters. And I know that man is what's seasonal. Man seems to be up in the mountaintops. He'll seem to be, man, full of the power of God. And boy, he just seems to be exuberant and very zealous. And you know, boy, this is a real true man of God, a real true Christian here. You know, then the next time you see him, he's got his head hanging down, his countenance is down, and he's depressed, this and that. You see, that's man. Sons of God aren't that way. Brothers and sisters, when you find yourself given to change, woe unto you. You know, you need to be a person that stays full of the Holy Ghost and the power of God. You walk. You see, you're not moved by the things of this world. You're not moved by the things of the world. You know, when you find this great storm, when Jesus was there in the boat, and you find this great storm that came forth and the people were frantic in their mind, they're going to perish, but what was he asleep? What's that showing us? It shows us another mind. You know, I think of even in Jonah's time, when we think of the ones who were on board were frantic and they were calling out on their gods and praying and everything. But where was he? He was asleep. He knew where the problem was, didn't he? He knew where it was at. Sometimes that's the revelation that we need to come to. But brothers and sisters, again, when we think of this mind and we think of the Word, see, we're seeking after the spirit of the Word, not the intellectual application of the Word. I've seen people so skilled in their Bibles and so skilled in their Word, and boy, they have a scripture, and boy, they could go here and go there, and so eloquent in their readings and so eloquent in putting these scriptures and things together. They've got Bibles, they call them chain Bibles. You go over here and get this one, and people give their life to that, and I think it's wonderful. The Bible says to study to show yourself approved, a workman who need not be ashamed. Amen? And you should be in the Word. But see, if you're reading the Scriptures and you're applying it right here to an intellectual capacity, and you get before people with your quotes and your intellectual abilities and your carnality of it, you see, it's a different thing altogether. What we want is the Spirit of the Word. I know I said something that a great man of God, Brother Branham, said. When a man come to him and said, you know, Brother Branham, he said, you just don't know your Bible. He didn't argue with him and contest it. He just said, well, I know the author. What he was saying, I know the spirit of that Word. Amen? Sometimes you'll quote scripture or say things and you'll quote it by the Spirit because there's a written application of the spirit of the Word. And these brethren, the thing being God-breathed, it was God-breathed by the Spirit and put down. But you see, when we have that Spirit, it could be God-breathed today and we could speak it forth, maybe not verbatim. Maybe we're not speaking it forth line upon line in that perspective of thought or exactly, but we're delivering the same message in maybe our own terminology. And I know some of us are a little bit uneducated and possibly don't have the eloquence and things that maybe others do. But you see, it's the Spirit that we're looking for. The delivery of the Spirit of the Word. Amen. Let's read on just a little bit more. But I'm going to go back and read the first again. It says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, like-minded, like-minded. Wonder what the opposite of like-minded is. We can go to the scriptures and I could show you that. Having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than themselves. There's another scripture right there. You know, that's going to remove jealousy. It's going to remove envy. It's going to remove strife. These are things that are happening in what we call the body of Christ. And I should say within the realms of religion, but even in the body of Christ. You know, when Peter was rebuked, "Get you behind me, Satan." Are you going to contest that he was a child of God? You say, "Oh, no, he must have been Satan, or the Lord can't lie." But you see, he was discerning the mind. He was discerning the mind and the thoughts that he was in at that particular time. Was Peter Satan? God forbid. This is a man that was entrusted with the keys to the kingdom. This is the man that preached the first message over in the book of Acts of the early church. And there were thousands added to the church that very day. This is the one that stood there by the hands warming his fire when they were taking Jesus in to, so to speak, judge him and to take and crucify him. This is the one who warmed his hands that cursed, for they wouldn't think that he was a follower. You say, what is the difference? Well, there is a great difference of what we say the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And you say, well, you know what the thing is when the Lord spoke to him about and said, "Get you behind me, Satan," that was the only reason he could speak that, is because it was for the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Well, what are you going to do when the Holy Ghost made this child leap within the mother's womb, John the Baptist, and made this child leap? What are you going to do with the fact of those things where the Holy Ghost was always there? Move the Spirit of God moving over the waters and over darkness. You see, brothers and sisters, we understand how to differentiate dimensional things, and we understand that. And we understand how to differentiate God down into a natural, physical, and spiritual, or body, soul, and spirit. But you know, we got to come into the mind of Christ, the mind of revelation. And we got to learn to start again differentiating these dimensional perspectives and projections that we can truly understand and comprehend God and know God. And we need to know God, how He moves in our midst this day and this hour. We need to know how God is moving in our lives. What is God's purpose and function in this day and hour? It's the same, brothers and sisters. If you think that you've read enough of your Bible to understand the Lord Jesus Christ and understand His purpose of coming to the earth and walking among men, if you think that you've read enough Bible to understand that, then you've got enough understanding to know the God's purpose in your life. You know, so many people are walking and looking for the will of God. Well, I'm not sure what God wants me to do. I'm not sure what the will of God is in my life. I'm not sure. They're like a man running and beating at the air in many cases. But then yet, if you understand the scriptures and read the Bible about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's your example. This is what God's purpose is today for you. This is God's purpose for you. You're a son of God. He's the firstborn of many brethren. He came and walked among men to show the attributes of the invisible world. He came and walked among men to show us, brothers and sisters, this mind of Christ, the invisible mind of revelation, is made manifest and we could see. You see, you're responsible to bring forth the invisible things of God, the unseen things, into a manifestation. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and of things not seen. So by faith, you're going to bring these things to an evidence. By faith, you're going to bring it into something that's tangible that people can see. You know, by faith, brothers and sisters, when we have sicknesses within our body, by faith, we bring the substance of the evidence of healing, the evidence of health, the evidence of strength. We bring it forth. By faith, brothers and sisters, when our bank accounts are empty and invisible, by faith, we bring forth, brothers and sisters, a prosperity that we can continue to function in the kingdom of God and continue to do the things that are pleasing to God. By faith, brothers and sisters, we bring forth the mind of Christ. By faith, we bring forth the Lord Jesus Christ alive today. What you do to the least of these, my brethren, is what you don't. By faith, we bring Jesus alive. By faith, we let Him walk in the earth in this day and hour. By faith, brothers and sisters, we bring the Word, the same Word that's today. Today, yesterday, and forever. We bring it into a manifestation. Now we are the sons of God. Now we are the sons of God. He's given us the power, brothers and sisters. You could read it in the Gospels. You could read it in the book of John. He's empowered us. He's equipped us. He's delivered us. He's filled us. He's given us everything that pertaineth unto life. We're inexcusable. We're without excuse, brothers and sisters. We need to walk in the power of the Holy Ghost. You know, He didn't send His power, brothers and sisters, just for some religious experience. He did not send this great day of Pentecost that we could stand some 2,000 years later and we could stand in and talk about this great infilling of the Holy Ghost. He didn't do it for what could be a historical event. He didn't do it for we could talk about the great things that he'd done for the patriarchs of old or the forefathers. He did not do it for that reason, brothers and sisters. He sent forth the Spirit of His Word, the power of His salvation, the power that spoke everything into an existence. He sent it forth that it could dwell among men and walk among men in this day and hour. Now we are the sons of God. See, brothers and sisters, we're so guilty of making God a past tense God and a future God. You know, the churches are all saying, oh boy, praise God, someday Jesus is going to come back. Oh, hallelujah, I'm longing and yearning for that day. The Bible says that the world is yearning and longing and waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Brothers and sisters, now we are the sons of God. Amen. The worldly, we have to break that and differentiate that. You see, this worldly outer garment of iniquity, this outer part, is that worldly part that's yearning and longing for the manifestation of the sons of God. It's my old body, this old pest house, so to speak, this part that's aging and gets weak and gets old and gets tired and gets weary. It's yearning and longing for the manifestation. It's looking for that change, that transfiguration. It's looking, you know, that this body of corruption to be done away with and gone. Amen. And we have to do that in that mind of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. But this body is yearning and waiting for that. Amen. But now we are the sons of God. The world doesn't see us of what we are. They don't look at you with your eyes and see you of what you already are. You see, that's the yearning of that perspective. Now we go and look at the dimension of people of the world. Yes, they don't see you as what you are. If they knew who you were, if they knew the potentiality of the spirit world that dwells in you, they would do just like in the Bible. Like when Peter was commanded to go over there to the Cornelius house, they fall down and want to worship. Wait a minute, get up off the ground. I'm a man just like you're a man. That's what they would want to do to you, brothers and sisters. I'm telling you, they would want to fall down and worship you if they saw the potentials of this Christ that dwelled within you when you're a blood-bought, born-again child of God and the elect of God. Amen. But you see, there's so much blindness and so much darkness and so much religious hypocrisy in the world today and so many ideologies that are going forth and they're calling it the mind of God or religion. And it's nothing but ideology. It's nothing but the Antichrist. The Bible said there's many Antichrists among you. Many, many. And as people are looking for this God to come back, and they're preaching about it in the churches, oh, we're waiting on this great God to come back. Brothers and sisters, I know that in like manner that He descended off the Mount of Olivet, He said, why do you gaze here? And looking into the air, in like manner that you've seen Him ascend, you'll see Him come back. I understand those scriptures will be fulfilled. But He's coming back to set up an earthly kingdom for the Jew, for the earthly elect or the natural elect. He's coming back to set up for them. And it's the great and terrible day of the Lord, and the blood will flow to the horse's bridle. It's the great and terrible day of the Lord. But the churches, the elect, the spiritual elect, are speaking of this day. Oh, someday He's coming back, and they're walking in despair. A deferred hope sickeneth the heart, the Bible says. And they're walking in deferred hope. Brothers and sisters, He fulfilled what He said. He said, go ye there and tarry there in Jerusalem. He said, go ye there and tarry there until you receive what? Power. Until you're endued with power. Amen. You see, this is the returning of God. We have to believe the Word of God. The Bible says Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. It said these three are one. Amen. It's the same God that dwelled within Christ Jesus. The Bible said the same Spirit that dwelled within Jesus shall dwell within you. Amen. This is the hope, the glory of God, brothers and sisters. And He dwells within us. Amen. You see, so many times, you know, we want to talk about the great man of God or the great men of God or the great patriarchs of old or the great exploits that these great men have done. And boy, brothers and sisters, there's so numerous of the great, great sons of God and the men of God that have been filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. I mean, there's history books of times and things and events that have happened to vindicate the Spirit of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God moving within the midst of the people. In every generation, there's been recordings of things that have taken place and happened, and we thank God for that. But brothers and sisters, what about in you? What about the hope of glory in you? What about the power of salvation in you? What about having your thoughts established in you? What about you walking beyond reproach in such a way, brothers and sisters, of being full of the Holy Ghost? So as we differentiate the Spirit of God, we have some that are waiting. We have some teachings that are going forth from theologians, we may say, from colleges. And they talk about the Antichrist and he's one yet to come. And he's going to come and set up a rule in this world. The Bible says that the whole world will follow after him. You see, that's happening today. They're looking for some future thing, and there will be a manifestation, a fleshly personification of an Antichrist, yes. Just as there will be a manifestation of Jesus Christ coming back in like manner that they've seen him, and he'll set up rule right there in Jerusalem, command the whole world, amen. It's not going to be by election, and it's not going to be by vote. It's going to be more like a dictatorship. He's going to say, thus saith the Lord, yea and amen, this is the way it is, so be it. They're not going to vote him in at Washington or vote him out. They're already done that now. They're already doing that today in the churches. You get a Holy Ghost filled man of God in the churches today, the deacon boards will put him out. They'll get together and vote him out. He offended my brother. He offended my sister. He offended this, and they'll put him out. They crucify him. Present day crucifixion. No different, brothers and sisters. I'm telling you this. The judgments for those ones that took the nails and put it in the palms of the Lord Jesus Christ and drove them through his hand and drove them through his feet and crammed them thorns right down over his head and slammed them down to his flesh is ripped on his forehead and on his head. I'm telling you, you think, what a terrible, God-awful act that they would do to God himself. Well, let me tell you this, for you can understand God in a present day truth. It is no different today when you come against God's anointed, God's elect, God's children, the sons of God. When you come across and speak against them, it is no different. You'll stand the same judgment for a present day crucifixion and trampling the blood of our Lord and Savior under feet than it was at that very time. See, people don't see that. They don't perceive that. They don't even agree with that, but it's no different. But I was in prison and you visited me not. When was you there, Lord? What you've done to the least of these, my brethren, is what you've done unto me. See, people got this concept of a God 2,000 years ago that walked among men. They got a concept of this God that's coming back to this earth someday. Brothers and sisters, he's not coming back for the church in that perspective of thought. He has already come to the church, the elect. He's already come and filled us. He's present with us. When two or three come together in his name, he's there. He's in the midst. He is in us. He's through us. Amen. That's what our Bible teaches us. I'm not waiting on the coming of the Lord. Amen. He's already came. If you can't believe that he's here, you don't believe the word. You're an unbeliever. If you can't believe he's present, then you're an unbeliever. If you can't believe this, he's given us everything that already pertaineth unto life. We've already passed from death unto life. We've already been crucified with him and risen with him. Amen. Now the thing is, I know, brothers and sisters, that when we get into differentiating the things of God, I could speak by the mind of the Spirit and I could say I am a God. I could speak by the mind of the Spirit and say I cannot sin. I could speak by the mind of the Spirit and say I've been perfected once and for all by the works of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. I could go into the teachings that I'm more than a conqueror because I've passed from death unto life. I cannot die. Amen. But then yet I could differentiate in the perspective and speak as a man. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And I could speak as a man, but the Bible commands us to speak to one another as unto spirituals. It commands us to teach and to pray in the Spirit and to walk in the Spirit and to be led by the Spirit. That's how we know we're the sons of God. We need to speak by the mind of the Spirit and the mind of revelation. You see, we don't want to be speaking in the mind of man. You know, we can find the differentiation of that in the Scriptures and the Word. When Paul goes in and speaking about all the things that I want to do, I find myself not doing. And the very things that I want to do, I'm not doing. And the things that I'm doing are the things I don't want to do. Who's going to deliver me? Amen. I thank God for the delivering power of the Spirit of God. But it's a continual warfare. The fivefold ministry sent for perfecting the saints. But then Jesus said that he's perfected us once and for all by his works at Calvary. So we got to differentiate again. Yes, we've been perfected by the works of Christ. How can we send a ministry in the need of helping out or a fivefold ministry when Christ has already done it? You see, this perfection is taking place in the Spirit. It is our obligation, brothers and sisters, to bring the invisible Spirit things of perfection into a manifestation in the sons of God, or bring it into a manifestation in this fleshly tabernacle that the people of this world could see the revealing of Christ in the present day and hour. We are the returning of the Lord. We are the coming of the Lord to this generation and to these people. Amen. That's who we are. We are the sons of God. He has held nothing back. He's given us everything that pertains unto life. He's given us an unction. instruction, brothers and sisters, to know all things, amen. And we need to walk in that mind of Jesus Christ, in that mind of revelation. We need to walk in the fullness and the power of God, and we need to quit talking about what the great patriarchs of old have done, and we need to start manifesting it and letting Jesus Christ be alive and well in this present day and in this present hour, that he could walk among men in this day. Let's give the Lord a hand, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Brothers and sisters, if anybody is guilty of crucifying the Lord, it would be us. You say, oh, I can't receive that. I can't receive that. You see, this is where we got to differentiate again. You must decrease. You must die. You must mortify the deeds of the flesh. You must mortify your mind, your thoughts, your ideas, your ways. You see, there's an illuminated one. There is an Antichrist. That is an illumination. And there's many times that people cannot discern the illumination. You see, there is an illumination of the intellectual mind. It could seem so bright and so religious and so accurate and so correct. But then yet again, as we spoke earlier about discernment, when you have discernment, you could discern the difference between the illumination of the second dimension or the soul realm. As you've heard me say in times past, you see, there's a dimension of darkness. There's a dimension of twilight. And there's a dimension of light. You see, in the dimension of light, there can be no darkness there because light eradicates darkness. We're speaking by the Spirit. But in that soulish realm, in a twilight realm, there could be an illumination of a light there. And there could be a manifestation of darkness at the same time. It's a twilight. And many people that have came out of the darkness of their intellectual carnality and human reasoning have came into this second dimension, a wilderness. And they've come into this wilderness realm of wondering. Just as the children of God or Israel was there, we could say, in the wilderness. And they came out of Egypt and they saw the miraculous power of God. Moses takes and smites a rock and we have water that comes forth, or they would have perished out there. We find manna raining down from heavens and they could pick up this manna for 6 days a week. And on the sixth day, there was enough there that came forth. There was enough manna that came forth that they could have it for the next day. But any other day they tried to gather up enough for the next day, it'd go warming. See, there was a supernatural God all the way through. Their clothes did not wear out. I'll tell you what, I'd like to get a pair of shoes that last 40 days, let alone 40 years. They say hillbillies wear them out from the inside out. Some of you say, I've got some clothes I've had for 40 years, but it probably wasn't wearing them every day. But you see, God showed himself. All the way through. Now, see, we're speaking of allegories. We find people coming out of bondage, coming out of darkness. In your first birth, you're in bondage. You're earthly. You're in bondage. So now you've come to an understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ, and now you're on your way to the promised land. And you find yourself in a wilderness, wandering around. Oh, yeah, I see the move of God. I see the supernatural of God. I've seen miracles. I've seen healings. I've seen deliverances. I've seen alcoholics quit drinking. I've seen whoremongers quit being whoremongers. I've seen harlots quit being harlots. I've seen, boy, these great things. And sometimes you see them go back to it, like the dog turning to its vomit. Sometimes you see the pig go back and roll in the mire. You see, brothers and sisters, the problem is in the second dimension, we find both worlds there. You see, there's a continued warfare there. When we find that most of the application of New Testament doctrine, we find speaking about the Spirit and a door that's open for us, yes, in heaven, that we can enter into. Our spirit has already been caught away, hid away, sealed in with Christ. Nothing could be laid to our charge. Nothing could touch us. Nothing could bring harm to us, amen, because we've been perfected once and for all. Our name put in the book of life. He's never lost to one. There are doctrines of backsliding in Old Testament. And it's not New Testament doctrine. When you say, oh, I knew a great man of God and he was so full of the Holy Ghost and we seen people healed and he went back to being a drunk and he went back this and that. Well, you never saw no son of God do that. It was just to be made manifest that they was never, never of you. It doesn't mean there wasn't exploits done. It doesn't mean that the rain wasn't running down. It doesn't mean that they weren't speaking in tongues or people being healed. It doesn't mean they weren't dancing in the Spirit. They were doing everything that would appear that they would have been a child of God. But it was just to be made known and to be made manifest. It was never of you when they departed. See, we need to understand doctrine and word and scriptures. Amen. So we're speaking about the second heaven for a moment. Speaking about a soulish realm. A realm of twilight. Well, the Bible says, you know, that we can't have light and darkness together. We can't have bitter and sweet from the same well. That's speaking about in the spirit, brothers and sisters. But in the second heaven, there's a mixture. Just like when the sun's setting, I can't have darkness outside. It's daytime right now. I can't have darkness out there unless I would veil or do something, you know, to veil the sun out. And the thing is, brothers and sisters, in that second dimension is just like when they were coming out of Egypt in darkness, they came out, they saw the provisions of God. They saw these things of God. But see, that wasn't what God had in store for them. He had a promise of going across into Canaan. And yes, brothers and sisters, there's people in this time and this day, they see the hand of God, the move of God, the virtue of God, the healing of God. They see the miraculous things of God taking place. But He's got something in store for them to continue. It's, you know, what has hindered you? You ran the race well, but what has hindered you? You see, brothers and sisters, it's we that endure till the end. It doesn't matter about the great exploits that's numbered to you and the things that you've done last week or last year. There's too many people running on last week's or last year's exploits. Oh, I've done these great things. Oh man, we had a camp meeting and the Holy Ghost came down on me. I spoke in tongues and I rolled around on the floor and I danced in the spirit. I ran around the church. Praise God. But what is happening today? Is that spirit made known in you? Is that spirit alive in you today? Is that spirit walking in you today? Is that spirit keeping you walking beyond reproach? Are you pure, clean, and unspotted from the world? Amen. So brothers and sisters, when we dimensionally differentiate some of these things, we find out in the second heaven that many people are partaking of the things of the spirit world that have condescended down to men of a less estate. Yes, it's the light. Yes, it's the invisible things of God, and it's come down and it's taking and changing. See, the Bible says, let this mind be in you. Let's read on here just a little bit. We're going to just about to that particular scripture. Verse 4 says, let not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, brothers and sisters, we read this scripture here, but what we need to do is we need to read this with an application of a present day truth. We need to read it with an application within our own life. We need to learn to take this word and quit putting it in a historic thing of a great God that walked among men, and we need to bring it into a present day truth and application within our own lives, that it could be made known, seen, comprehended, and understood in we, the sons of God. You see, who has bewitched you? Brothers and sisters, we're not. There is a mind. Let me go back and speak just for a moment more about this second heaven for a second. You know, when we think of the invisible dimension or the spirit, we say the Father is invisible, no man has seen. We find Philip coming to Jesus, say, when will we see the Father? How can you say you have not seen the Father when I've been with you so long? I and the Father are one. The Father's within me and I'm within the Father. And he goes on later to say that we're in him. And he's within us. You see, brothers and sisters, we're intertwined in the Godhead and the Spirit. We are the body of Christ. We're predestinated in him. We're not predestinated in some church. We're not predestinated in some kind of worldly faith thing or some kind of organization. We're not predestinated because we said some prayer. We're not predestinated in anything except him. Predestinated in him. He put our name in the book of life before the world ever was. He saved us when we were yet still in our sins. You see, brothers and sisters, we're not saved by our works. We're not saved by our goodness. We're not saved because we're preachers, or we're not saved because we witness. We're not saved because we work at the church or around the church, and we're not saved for those reasons. We're saved simply by the mercies of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we come to some kind of a faith in believing that, without faith, you'll never know God. Without faith, you'll never please God. Without faith, it's imputed to you as sin. The only way you could move the heavens and move the invisible world is by faith. And it brings forth a substance and an evidence. Oh yeah, I've got faith. I believe I'm a child of God. Man, I said the sinner's prayer. I prayed and asked God in my heart. I said, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Forgive me. Oh God, come in my heart. Man, I got faith. I believe. I thank God for that. I hope that is your testimony. But I'll tell you what, if you've got faith, it's going to bring a substance. It's going to bring a manifestation in your life. You can say the right things. You can confess Him with your lips, but your heart be far from Him. You see, brothers and sisters, when you've got faith in God, amen, faith is going to bring forth a manifestation of the attributes of the invisible Father of God. It's going to bring the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God that was personified in Jesus. And that Spirit that dwelled in Jesus, the same Spirit that dwelled in Him, will come and dwell within this mortal body. It will dwell within us, brothers and sisters. It will manifest itself in us. And it'll bring forth the same actions, the same attributes of Jesus Christ. So now when we go and read the life about Jesus, and we read about His purpose and His plan and the things that He did among men and walking among the earth, then you will find out what the will of God is for you in your life. It's no different. We are the saviors, brothers and sisters, to this world and this generation. Oh, that's blaspheming, Brother Rob. You can't say that. There's only one Savior. There's only one faith, and there's only one God. And I say, yea and amen. I'm just bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh, amen. And the thing is that we are the body of Christ. And we are the mouthpiece of God. The Bible says it's no longer the minister speaking, but God speaking through him. He said that He's given us the power, amen, hallelujah, to remit or to retain sin. When Jesus walked among men, He said, take up your mat and walk, and your sins are forgiven. They said, you can't do that. Only God could do that. And God gave us the ability and the power. He said, go into all the world, baptizing them in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. We've got the authority and we've got the power, amen, to remit sin or to retain. You see, because we're the sons of God. He said He'll give His glory to none other. And we aren't a none other. We are His. And He's given us the glory. Amen. Can you believe that this morning? Can you receive that this very day and hour? Let's let God be alive. Let's let God be real. Let's bring the Spirit of holiness, the Spirit of power, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of salvation, and let it be made manifest in this dark and dying world. This world is lost and with no hope outside of Christ. Amen. Christ needs to come back to America. Amen. Christ needs to walk in the streets of America. Christ needs to visit the churches in America, brothers and sisters, because they've gone over to doctrines of devils. It's prophesied, brothers and sisters, in the Word. It talks about what condition this Laodicean day church would be. It talks about darkness and the blindness. You know, we could perceive what blindness is when we see the man walking with the white stick. We could perceive what lame is when we see them maybe pushing a man around in a wheelchair. We could see what we would say death is, when they're doing sign language and things. And we could understand that. We could even have pity. We could even say, oh, we could pray. But brothers and sisters, the people of this generation, there's an epidemic of blindness, an epidemic proportions of people that can't hear and of people that can't walk. It's epidemic proportions. The Pentecostal world is so moved by miracles. And you could be so thankful that you see somebody possibly get out of a wheelchair, take their hearing aids out and throw them down. Those are awesome things, no doubt. There was a little blind girl at this performance. I'd guesstimate her age, probably 8 years old, maybe nine, just guesstimating. Really irrelevant. She'd have people lead her out on the stage, had a little white cane. Beautiful little girl, sang. She couldn't see the crowd giving her a standing ovation. See, it moves people to see those kind of things. But brothers and sisters, she might have been the only one on that stage that really could see. And I know there was a lot of beautiful little children there. And I say that not in a judgmental way, saying that all the rest was heathens. That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about in a comparison perspective, that little blind girl could have been the truly only one that had eyes to see. You see, we judge things from the wrong dimension, from the wrong way and the wrong matter. Oh, it's so awesome when Jesus came along and said, Lazarus, come forth. And he come forth. We know that the Lord said he was asleep. They said he stinketh by now. There's awesome revelation in that. Many things could be said there. And I believe that when the Lord said he's asleep, it talked about his eternal well-being in the perspective that he wasn't numbered and imputed to him as death. But I can say this maybe for an example, not so much as Lazarus, but there's been others that have been risen from the dead. There's recorded things of men being raised from the dead. Brother Dimitri Dudeman was raised from the dead on more than one occasion as he was persecuted for his testimony for Jesus Christ. He was electrocuted by the Russians and put to death and stomped to death another time and came back to life. But brothers and sisters, let me ask you, how many have truly been raised from the dead that maybe went on in a life of lasciviousness and went on in a life without Christ and found at the end of the way and at the end of the matter that they found themselves cut off from God? The Bible said, lay hands on no man suddenly. Sometimes we need to ponder and think. Oh, bless God, we're the great faith healers. Man, we lay hands on this one and they could receive their sight or they could do this or that. And you might be guilty. If your eyes offend you, pluck them out. You're better off to enter into the kingdom of God maimed, so to speak, or blind, than you would be to go into hell with all of your eyesight. If your hands offend you, cut them off. See, now we're talking about the mind of Christ. You see, we think so much in temporal life. We think so much in natural dimensions. We think so much of prosperity that, you know, we want finance, we want health, we want strength, we want to be seen, we want to be exalted. But those are all the opposites of the mind of Christ. He wants us to be humble. He wants us to esteem others greater. We want to be served, but we need to have a spirit to serve and to be servants. Is it in your heart to serve and to help? Is it in your heart for others to have a wonderful time and you'd sacrifice your wonderful time that they could have a wonderful time in the mind of Christ? You see, we're talking about the mind of the Lord. You see, the mind of the Lord should not be some historic thing of speaking about how Jesus walked, how he talked, how he acted, and the attributes that came forth in his life. The mind of the Lord should not be some future thing. I remember going to a thing down here in the areas of Charlotte. A few family members, there was some couple young men there. I believe they were brothers. They started talking to me about the Lord. And I was sitting there talking with them and trying to fellowship with them. And I listened to them. And I was saddened in my heart because they were in a deferred hope. And I finally spoke up and I said, who told you these things? Oh, but the preacher. This is what we go to church and we get indoctrinated into this. There's so much false doctrine going into churches today. Go out and start asking the people. And oh, I'm a sinner and I sin every day. Well, that means they're of the devil. Why would a pastor teach their people in the church that they're of the devil? Oh, you're a sinner and you sin every day. You're of the devil. God don't even hear your prayers because he doesn't hear a sinner's prayer. So you're teaching your people that God doesn't hear you and your father's the devil. Why would a pastor teach such foolishness? Because they don't have eyes. They're blind leaders of the blind and they all fall in the ditch. They're hirelings like the Bible says. They have the love for filthy lucre. And you say, what's filthy lucre? That's the salary that a preacher's paid. You say, oh, no, it isn't. I can't think of anything more filthy than to be a hireling and on a payroll of some church getting a paycheck and you can't say the word and you can't offend nobody because they're going to cut your paycheck off. That's filthy lucre. Well, I believe filthy lucre is, you know, money that's earned on honestly and this and that. Well, I'm not going to dispute that. You know, but see what you call filth. You say, well, I think that when you go out here to the drug house and they're making methamphetamine and man, that's what filthy is. And I say, well, that's what it's supposed to be. But when you go to a church and you think you're going to go there to hear the word of God and you see a hireling that's just a paycheck and a thing, that's filth. And when you see a church is supposed to come out of the world and be unspotted from the things of the world and the ministers to be blameless, amen, and to be beyond reproach, and you see them in the lasciviousness of the world, that's filth. I told a minister, I said, the most filthy institution in America is organized church. They can't accept that. They have a problem with that. Believe me, brothers and sisters, I would not speak against God's elect, against God's anointed, or speak against God's people. Amen. But I'm talking about the ministers of Satan that have transformed themselves as ministers of light. Well, where's that light at? That's in that second heaven. They've climbed up another way, and they found themselves in the second heaven, and they transformed themselves into ministers of light. Oh, you need to pray that God would open up your understanding to perceive and to see that. You think that the minister's supposed to be so eloquent and so perfect, not to offend nobody. They're rude in speech. I'll tell you what, if you would go and read about Jesus Christ the way he talked, call them slow bellies. called the woman that came, and he turned around and said, I've never seen such a great faith, but said, dogs, pray for me, amen. I love you and I appreciate you. Brothers and sisters, it's important that we understand the Word. It's important that we understand what being led by the Spirit is. It is important that we know what a son of God is, amen, that we can be led by the Spirit of God. It is important that we can start differentiating the missional things, that we will not no longer be walking after the flesh and after the things and the vain jingles of this world, that we will not be caught up in the snares of the enemy and of the devil. Get out of your ideas of thinking that Satan is going to present himself so bloody and gloomy looking when he'll present himself as a minister of light. And he'll ever look so eloquent in his speech. And he'll be backed up by the worldly institutions with all of the degrees and diplomacies and everything that the world's got to offer. I was in supposed to be a Pentecostal church, and they were bringing a man into the church that was a music minister. And I heard 5 minutes of explanation of the degrees and the colleges that he went to, and had a master's degree in music at this college and another degree over here and another degree over here. But never one time did I hear the preacher say, this is a man filled with the Holy Ghost. Never one time did I hear that. But you see, that's what moves the people of this world. They want written proof. They want to see the ordination certificate on the wall. They're a wicked and adulterous generation seeking after a sign. And the thing is that the Lord himself walks amongst them in their midst, and they know not God nor see. God sends a man of God full of the Holy Ghost, the body of Christ, the mouthpiece of God, the saviors to the world. I'm talking about we as the sons of God. And sends them in the midst, and they crucify him. So they killed the prophets of old and had their way with them. And it's the same today when Jesus himself, the creator of all, come and walked among, they had their way. It's no different today. The Bible says that we'll be persecuted, that they'll put you to death thinking that they're doing God a service. If they got anything good to say about you, the love of God's not there. They hated him first, and they'll hate you also. Brothers and sisters, let's bring the word alive. Let's bring it manifest today. Be and walk ye therein, the Spirit of God and the power of the Holy Ghost. Walk ye there in the Spirit, that the sons of God could be made known and manifested amongst this dried up dark generation of snakes and vipers and hypocrites. Let your word be known, amen. Speak forth the word of God. Live the word of God. Walk in the power of God, amen. Sometimes you leave places to pressed in a perspective that you speak and they don't hear your voice. And the reason is because they see your lifestyle, amen, and it speaks louder than your words. Live a godly, overcoming, holy life, amen. It's your reasonable service. Mortify your thoughts, your ideas, your life, your ways, your wants, your desires. Get out of the love of the world. When you got the love of the world in you and you want to frolic in the world and want to play in the world and you want the worldly desires and the worldly things, you're of the world, the Bible says, and your father is the devil. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Examine yourself and see if you be in the faith. So many times we're too busy examining the others and examining the preacher and examining this. Try the spirit and see if it be of God, but try your own spirit. Try the thoughts that come to your mind. Find out who's speaking to your mind. He's going to give you the fruit of your thoughts. If you don't think God's a healer today, he's not. He's not going to be a healer for you, but he's my healer. You know why? Because I believe that he's a healer. If you don't believe that he infills and gives the power of his spirit today for an overcoming life, he doesn't. Because he gives you the fruit of your thoughts. If you make him powerless, he's powerless. You create your God. You create your God. He's exactly what you've made him to be. That's why you serve an unknown God like Ephesus did. You've created an unknown God. The God Jesus of this world isn't the same God Jesus that I read about in this Bible. The same Jesus that the churches are talking about out here on every corner of America. Is it the same Jesus that I read my Bible about? Because my Bible said he's the same today, yesterday, and forever. He's the same. But the God Jesus that they have in the churches today, it's okay to be a pervert and a queer and a sodomite. It's okay to be a drunkard. It's okay to live in sin. It's okay to be a whore and a whoremonger. It's okay, you just go to church and you say, oh God, forgive me. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost come on me. I got the goosebumps. Oh, I spoke in tongues. That means God's pleased with me. You're deceived, because the rain comes on the unjust also. When I rebuked that Pentecostal preacher and I said, you're no more than a Catholic priest, boy, it offended him. Boy, Brother Rob, you shouldn't do that. I'd do it again. I think I'd even be a little stronger now. Sometimes I've been guilty of sparing. But when you Pentecostal preachers and you just got the people coming into the altars all the time and you're having them pray through and they get saved every revival meeting, or you tell them that their willful sin is under the blood of Jesus, oh, God knows that you're not perfect. God made you perfect. Oh, God knows that you're weak. And he said, if you're weak, say that you're strong. Oh, God knows I can't do it. He says you could do all things in Christ. Amen. Because he is greater, the one that's in you. If you're yielding yourself to the lasciviousness of this world and the weakness of flesh and the lust of this flesh, then your father is the devil. Whoever you yield your members to is who you are of, the Bible says. Quit making God weak. Because my God isn't weak. My God is power. My God is salvation. Amen. My God has made us as the children and the sons of God more than conquerors. We could conquer all things. We could conquer fleshly lust. We could conquer evil surmising. We can conquer worldly wickedness and fleshly wickedness and fleshly lust. We could conquer anger and drunkenness. We could conquer evil surmising and backbiting and gossiping. We could conquer all those things because we're more than conquerors. Amen. And we're showing and making a show of the devil in a way that we're exposing him and killing him out and mortifying the deeds that would be of the flesh. Brothers and sisters, let your God be alive. Let him be real. Let him be well. Amen. We need a God that is alive. We need to get away from the past tense thing and the future and make God now. He is the I am. I am. He is now. He is present in our day and in our needs, brothers and sisters. He's never left us nor forsaken us. Amen. Sometimes you can have people in a service and it could be their last service and you want to make sure that you've allowed the Lord to say everything that he wants to say. I've watched them put those cranks and crank them down in the ground and watch that casket go down in the ground. And I thought, oh God, would I do it anything different? Would have I said more to him or her if I know that this day was coming, that they were going to be cranked into the dirt? Would I have maybe tried to be a better example? Would I have tried to be a better light? Would I have tried to say something by the mind of God and revelation to them? Been there. And I told God, I said, Lord, don't ever let this happen again. Lord, don't let me stand here and watch something like this thing and thinking I wished I would have said or wished I would have done. Many cases and many times, brothers and sisters, we're words, we cannot speak them because people are busy looking at our lifestyles. We think that holiness is just an invisible inward work. And you're right, because he is the spirit of holiness. But when you have the spirit of holiness, it is made manifest in your outer man. Holiness is in your conversation. Holiness is in your dress. The Bible says, dress as becometh holy. That's the only holiness the people of this world are going to see. When you look like the world and you dress like the world, then you are of the world. That's what the Bible teaches us. The Bible said the slaves, they took and drove a pin in their ear for they could be marked. Yeah, Satan has a way of marking his. They'll take their jewelry when the Bible commands the woman to stay away from it. It's written in the New Testament. And they'll put a pin through their ear to be numbered. Now they put them through their nose and their lips and God knows elsewhere. God have mercy. Well, let me tell you something about that real quick here. And we're going to close the service. You say, yeah, I'm without words. Because I'm trying to think of a word that's stronger than ignorant. Somebody is going to stick their tongue out in some kind of filthy, perverted tattoo parlor or piercing place. Go by and look at these piercing places and look at the signage. Look at how they'll have flames around it. And everything always shows darkness and demonic depression and things. Always. And you're going to go in there, somebody all marked up and written all over and this and that. And you're going to let them put some kind of spike through your tongue? Ignorance doesn't even work for this expression. I can't find a word of expression. You're going to let them drive one through your nose? Jewelers, I think, today like it. I mean, you know, back, I guess, when I was a kid and things like that, you know, it's doing pretty good for a woman to have one earring in each ear, you know, and maybe one ring on her hand. Now they got one on every finger and they got 10 in their ears and 7 in their nose. And jewelers, like I say, probably like it. What does it show, Brother Rom? Well, ignorance doesn't express really what it shows. But I could tell you one thing. The Bible speaks about the manifestation of the sons of God. And the Bible speaks about the son of perdition being unveiled and revealed. And it said that the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ cannot come unless first the son of perdition is revealed. Now we bring that into the dimension that we have to understand that in our first birth, we have to recognize that as the son of perdition and expose him, kill him, mortify him, kill him out. And then the revelation of Jesus Christ could come within our life. That's the way we teach this. But then yet, when we go over to this dimension, we say returning to the Jew, the natural elect, we know that there will be an Antichrist that comes on the scene, that will be revealed. And he'll be seen, and Jesus will come and set up a rule for the natural Jew in Jerusalem. And if you don't come there to worship him, there'll be no rain on your crops. And as I've said in times past, you can have a 40-acre crop over here and it being rained on by God. And the guy right next door, just the property width away, could be parched and dried up because we're serving a supernatural God. That's the way it'll be. And you think, oh, that's not the way the millennium's going to be. Well, get in your Bible and read it. Why is Satan going to be loosed a short time there at the end? Gathering some of his back in. If you think everybody in that millennium is going to be the children of God and the elect of God, you don't know your Bible. If you think everybody in this dispensation of grace is a Christian and a child of God, you don't know your word. I'm sorry to say that to you. Oh, I wished I could get on board with you and say, oh man, the world is full of the children of God. And everywhere we go, and I do find children of God all around the world when I travel and preach, I find wonderful people full of the Spirit of God. They may not understand some of the things that you know, may not have been indoctrinated in some of the revelational truths, but they love God and they're sincere with God, and God has granted the Spirit of life to them. Amen. And they'll draw them to the word and to the truth. If you might be one that's in error and doctrine and out in some false doctrine, but if you are the elect of God, you'll hear the voice of God and the mind of God, and you'll be drawn out of the false doctrines, and you'll come clean. Amen. And you'll come pure before the Lord. Amen. It has to be that way, or his word would be violated, and his word is true. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You love the Lord this morning? I love y'all and appreciate you. I need your prayers. I need you to pray for me. This word that I preach, I got to stand in it. I got to live it. I got to walk therein. Amen. I got to walk in the Spirit to be led by the Spirit. I got to pray in the Spirit, pray in the Holy Ghost, and let that down in that innermost part. You know, brothers and sisters, we need to be in prayer one for another. We need to stand together right now in a way and in a more of a strength than we've ever stood ever before. You say, well, I've heard these things, and everybody says, well, it's the end, and thus and that. I believe it's going to go another 50 years. It might, but you might not. It might go 50 more years. You might go 50 more minutes, 50 seconds. I went to visit a man in a work over in Raleigh. This was years ago. We went over to hear him. They was ministering. There was a man on the front pew. The night before we were there, they were testifying about and talking about. But he was right on the front pew, man. They said he's standing with both hands lifted up, and Lord, just praising God. And they said he just went, sat down right in the seat, and that was it. That was the end of the world to him. That was the day of the Lord for him, in the perspective of that was it. You say, what an awesome thing. Amen. Hallelujah. Wouldn't it be nice to be recorded that you were standing in the house of God with both hands up in there just praising your Lord? Amen. Like Enoch, you was there 1 minute and then you're not. Well, Enoch was taken out with his body. Amen. But you know, nevertheless, that man being elect of God, he was gone and he was no longer there. He was not no more. That old body wasn't what we know him after. We know him after the Spirit. That's the way we as the sons of God are commanded. We know him after the Spirit. Amen. We know him by the Spirit. What spirit are you recognized of? How do people know you, brother and sister? How do they know you? How do they look at you? What do they know you of? Do they know you of one of anger and malice? Do they know you? Are you numbered of one of discord and strife? Tale-bearing? Are you numbered as a busybody? Are you numbered as a drunkard or of lascivious? Or are you numbered as an elect child of God? Do they see the fruit of the Spirit? Do they see love and joy? Do they see long-suffering and gentleness and patience and meekness and kindness? Do they see the attributes of the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, dwelling in you? Are you swearing to your own hurt and suffering the wrong? Are you doing good to them that despitefully use you? Are you praying for them and loving them that are evil to you? Amen. Brothers and sisters, there's a way to recognize the children of God. Amen. You say, well, we got to have discernment that we could discern. I could tell you this, that it most definitely helps, because many times the ministers of Satan could transform themselves through the power of will worship, and they could appear to look like the sons of God and the children of God. But if you have discernment, there will be something down in your spirit that will be dwelling there within you that might show those swords of the Spirit, like they put them out of the garden and it could be crossed there, and it's protecting your spirit, saying, wait a minute, there's something unclean, unholy, unrighteous, unvirtuous here. here, and you'll find this protecting power of the Spirit of God. Do you walk in that kind of discernment? Are you yielding yourself to the Spirit of God? Are you listening to the still small voice of God? Are you allowing the voice of the world and the voice of Satan and the voice of your intellectual concepts and the voice of your will and desire to ground out that still small voice of God? Or are you listening? Are you pressing your way into the kingdom? Are you studying to be quiet and hear and listen for the Lord? Amen. Brothers and sisters, pray for me. I want more of God. I want more of His revelation. I want more of His wisdom. I want more of His knowledge. Amen. I want to press my way into the kingdom of God. I want to do more and greater exploits for Him. I need your prayers, amen, that I can do that very thing. Amen. Pray for me as I pray for you. Amen. And pray that God will have His way in your life. Brothers and sisters, we could do great exploits as a body of Christ. Amen. When we pull together in one mind and one accord, we could take on great exploits. If you've got your mind and doing your thing, and I've got my mind doing my thing, then we're just a messed up work. We're not doing nothing. We'll accomplish nothing. Again, we're like a man running and beating at the air. But if we could unify together in the mind of Jesus Christ, in the mind that thought it not robbery to be equal with God, in the mind that believes that God is the same today, yesterday, and forever, and believes that we don't pierce each other through nor break rank, and we could really truly come into that mind and unify together in that mind, we could do some awesome exploits in this end time. And it's what it's going to take, us unifying together, brothers and sisters. There's a great attack on the body of Christ. It always has been. When we think of the great attacks that came against the Lord Jesus when He walked among men, they came to take up stones to stone Him. They had numerous times wanted to put Him to death, and they finally did. My brothers and sisters, it's no different today. Guard over your thoughts. Guard over and learn to pray and discern what thoughts come to you. Guard over your mouthpiece and find out what kind of words are being spoke forth. Sometimes you think you have the liberty to speak things and you don't whatsoever at all. Sometimes when you speak it, it could be Satan having his way. Because before you spoke it, it was a thought, and you could have cast that thought down in that vain imagination and cast it down and put it out. But when you spoke it forth, then it become a spirit. The Lord's word is spirit and it's truth. But Satan has a word that's spirit too. And it brings forth the spirit of death, and it came to kill, steal, and destroy. Get out of the mind of the physical and get into the mind of the spiritual. Find out who you're yielding your members to, what spirit you are of, and examine yourself and see if you be in the faith. Try the spirits, the thoughts, the intents of the heart. Sometimes your intents could look good and they look like they'd be exploits for God, but it's just Satan luring you through a religious way, thinking that you're following after the mind of God and you're following the mind of Satan. As I talked to a minister not long back, and he said, "I've never missed God." I thought, wow. You're the first one I've ever met that could say that. I wish that was my testimony, brothers and sisters. I failed the Lord. I thank God for His grace and mercy. I don't take it to lasciviousness, and I don't trample His blood under feet, but I've missed the Lord. My pastor, Brother Pike, his testimony was that he missed the Lord at different times. He talked about being thrown overboard of his own ship because he didn't yield to the voice of God. You think missing the Lord is going off into some kind of a sinful way or some kind of a willful sin or some kind of foolishness, worldly lust? But no, missing the Lord is not being where God wants you to be. Following after your own ideas. Sometimes preachers, they find themselves going to places that they want to be, not where God wants them to be. Sometimes preachers find themselves being in the land that they desire, in the places they desire to be. And then they want to make it a religious purpose to be there. And they're just running after their own will, not the will of God. See, if you're yielded to the Spirit of God, and He says, "I want you to go down this road called Dolorosa," you know what that road has to do with. And you say, "Lord, here I am, use me. Give me the power. Give me the strength. Fill me with the Holy Ghost, Lord God, that I can walk through this tribulation and this persecution, Lord, and do it in rejoicing in the name of the Lord." When you're a Spirit-led man, you'll find yourself in places that you desire not to be. If you're only in places that you want to be, you're not led by the Spirit of God. Go read your Bibles. Who this girdle is put on. What happened to him? The sons of God in the early church that were filled with the Holy Ghost were persecuted. They were put to death. There was many things that took place into their lives. And believe me, brothers and sisters, I understand what it is to be crucified in the house of my friends. And you say, you just think you're something and know something and you ain't never been anything. That's all right. I love you anyway. While you're crucifying me and bringing to a present day manifestation and truth of what I just said, you do it in your mind. You do it in your thoughts. Amen. But I love you. Amen. And I say, go ahead and drive the nails in. I love you. God, have mercy and God, forgive them. God, grant life to them. Grant the Holy Ghost to them. Fill them with love and fill them with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. You love the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. If you haven't fallen in love with Jesus, I say fall in love with Him. And if you're in love with Him, the Bible says you keep His commandments. Amen. And His commandments are not grievous. Hallelujah. Fall in love with Him. He's an awesome God. He's a God that's alive. He's a God that's well. He's a God that's still on the throne. Amen. He's a God that's ruling. Amen. Hallelujah. Have you yielded? Have you given? Have you prayed? Have you considered? Have you examined? Are you in the faith? Amen. I love you and appreciate you. I appreciate the adequate time that you've given me this morning to speak to you about the wonderful Word of God. Amen. I'm nothing. I'm the least of any of you, but I am called and chosen of the living God to preach His Word and to preach His gospel. I pray that I could be an example before you and walk beyond reproach and keep myself unspotted from the things of the world and be blameless in a crooked and perverse generation. And I pray that I can do that and try and make a genuine effort to do that. And I ask you to pray for me, amen, because I want to be more like Jesus. I want to have more Christ. I want a greater measure. I want more revelation, greater understanding. I want more of His Word, amen, hallelujah, within me. The altars are open this morning if you have need of prayer.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.